We've been knowing her for a long, long time. She has a powerful word for us ladies and gentlemen alike. It would challenge you to, let me just say it this way, take your limits off and put some feet to your faith. Let's receive our friend, Minister Pat Bailey.
Well, let's give the Lord some praise this morning. Come on now, if we're going to do it, don't patty cake. We're talking about the Lord, the King of Kings and the Lord of every Lord. Didn't we just say he deserves our hallelujah? Well, let's give it to him. Let's give it to him. Hallelujah. 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 You may be seated. Well, praise the Lord on what has traditionally been set aside as Mother's Day. I believe that as the word goes forth today, that there will be women here that have in the natural maybe not given birth to a child, but the instruction that has been given to me by your bishop was to bring forth a word that would challenge and encourage not just mothers, but women at large. Come on, let's thank God for the leadership of your bishop. And let me make sure that I give honor to where honor is due. Beside every good man is a powerful woman. So let's honor Lady Vanessa this morning with her ageless self. Just ageless. Come on now. And happy birthday, too, which I want to drink the water you're drinking. How many of you want to eat from the table she's eating from? Amen. And then very briefly, because that time clock is my enemy this morning, but we have such a powerful word to impart, and I was very honored that Pastor would allow me to come and bring the word on this particular Sunday. Also, it's very interesting that this falls in between two missions trips for me. We just came back from the field in the Somali camps on the border of Kenya and Somalia, and then we leave next Sunday for Haiti to build houses, to build clinics, to dig wells, and to minister to 42 women that were victims of gender-based violence and were raped by UN soldiers during the time of the earthquake. So we've adopted their life for 3 years and doing a complete makeover with literacy, with healthcare, education, and empowering them to job creation. Amen. We're taking them from aid to trade. Amen. But before I do that, I want to do a little further honoring. I have three mothers here this morning that I want to honor. And the first mother that we want to honor, first above all, Lady Vanessa, I was not able to be here yesterday, but I brought some flowers for you too as well. These are for the first lady. Okay. Amen. She can never get too many flowers. Then also, we have Mimi's mother that is here. Mignonette is the mother of my grandchildren, the wife of my son. And as if I had picked someone for my son, it couldn't be any better. Mimi and her mothers both are here this morning. These are the two mothers that I want to honor this morning. For you, Kim. Uh-huh. And then this is for you, Mimi. There you go. Help me honor. If it wasn't for that mother and this mother, I wouldn't have my grandbabies, okay? And I would like my family to stand. Kareem is here with Mignonette, and T and Kingston are all here. Would you stand, family? Amen. Miriam as well, amen. We're on a fast track this morning. Let's just take off, okay? Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for your goodness and your mercy in our life. And we thank you for the word that goes forth. The word shall go forth unhindered and unchecked by any outside force. We thank you, Father God, that those that are hearing today, that this word will not only not return void, but it will accomplish the very predestined assignment that you've appointed for it to achieve. And we thank you that this word will go with them in the shower, will go home with them, it will go in the bed with them, and may this word even haunt them in a good way, that they will bring forth fruit in due season. In Jesus' name, can you say amen to that? I want to take this time very briefly to thank Antioch and Zoe for those of you that maybe are visiting and some of you that have been perpetual visitors and haven't planted yourself here yet and been checking the church out. But this church, from the origin of our meeting together, has been supporting Master's Touch Ministries in many efforts that perhaps you're not even aware of. When there was the typhoon in the Philippines, Antioch and Zoe was there. When it was the earthquake in Haiti and we responded, Zoe was there. Our mission in Congo, where 2 million women have been raped as a result of the war, gender-based violence, and what they call a weapon of war, 2 million women being raped that did not make the news. And the weapons were provided by our two former past administrations. We felt it was our responsibility to not just allow it to happen, but because we had part in those rapings and that the weapons got into the hands of the wrong people and 2 million women were raped, we were able to go in and save and rescue the life of a little girl by the name of Mommy, who had been brutally raped by Melissa soldiers. And we rescued the little girl, got her in a home, got her mother in a home, and have been taking care of her. We were interviewed the governor of Goma in Congo, and he was denying the rapings. And then sure enough, we left to go to Kisumu Hospital right from there, where we discovered little Mommy at 8 years old having been brutally raped. So since the governor denied it, a team of women, we went in and we just bought a house in the governor's neighborhood and put Mommy and her mother in that house. Somebody say, just to say, you know. And then after that, of course, the governor now has extended to us honorary citizenship, and we're able to go in and help so many women in the rape centers that are there. But every last one of those efforts that you see that we've been able to do, from Haiti to Somalia to South Sudan, every last one of those efforts have been because of the support of this church, your bishop, his lovely wife, your tithes and offerings, and his leadership. Let's give God glory. And having said that, this last most recent trip that we just came back on, the world's largest famine in the history since World War II, has not made the news proper as well. And that is happening in the Eastern Horn of Africa. We just returned to go minister to 500,000 refugees in the world's largest refugee camp that is being shut down while we enjoy our luxuries. It's not making the news as well. The camps were designed for 91,000 people, and the refugee camps have 500,000 people. And they are now resettling the people during the time of the greatest famine. So it's a famine, plus the people are being displaced, and they have absolutely nowhere to go. So we went in, and we needed to charter a plane once we got to Nairobi to get out, to go out into the desert. They told us it would be impossible to get clearance into the camps. We tried to get governmental clearance. We tried to get UN clearance. We tried to get clearance from Red Cross. And as God would have it, the man that was formerly working for the UN, United Nations High Commission for Refugees, the General Secretary, had now no longer had that position. But God helped us to have favor with him. A Senegalese Muslim man years ago got us into the camps years ago. And now he is the General Secretary of the Red Cross worldwide. So you can't get any better clearance than that. So it's good to have friends in high places, right? So we made a phone call. He got us into the camps. And now what you're about to see is your seed, your tithes and offerings, because of the leadership of this house, your seed in action. Thank you.
Hello, Zoe family.
Well, that's
here
not quite your seed. Well, that is your seed in action. Let's get good volume. These are the water filters that we take in that extract cholera and typhoid, human feces, animal feces. That's the water they were drinking out in the desert.
Can you see?
The filters last 10 years. They extract human feces, animal feces, cholera, typhoid, and they last 10 years, and they'll do 150 gallons. Now I'm drinking that filthy water. God help me. And then we gave the water to the babies. And the babies are drinking it. The babies now have clean water. Now we're in the clinic in the desert.
Tell her to stay strong.
This baby is 9 months old, and you can hold the baby in your hand. This is a Somali mother.
Never give up.
And I'm telling her not to give up. Y'all, stretch your hands toward that baby and say that Amila will live and not die. Yes. Amila, you will live in Jesus' name. Now, these are the orphans that were victims from the war. The most recent war, we took in toys. That's Plumpy Nut with your money we took in. And these are all orphans that survived the war. Thank you for your help, Zoe. This is me ministering at the United Nations with the General Assembly.
We're still here at the UN, and it's been a very impactful time. We believe indeed that we're on an official mission to speak into the lives of those that are decision makers.
So for every last one of you here that have been seemingly employed by the UN, you are not employed by the UN. You have been employed by Almighty God for your time to be. You not only have been employed. universe.
The gospel was preached at the UN. Let's give God glory.
One more time to break principalities. Jesus is Lord over all the nations.
This is in the refugee camps. That's in the plane flying over that you helped to pay for. It's our pilots. They wouldn't let me in the cockpit this time. And us landing in the desert. South Sudanese refugees, 1.2 million people displaced. We're taking them from aid to trade and from aid to enterprise. Missions and marketplace.
Though hope has been deferred, you refuse to let it make your heart sick. You still love God. You're still praising God. You still love His Word. And you still hope for the promise.
We're providing literacy programs where they learn to read in 100 lessons. 80% of the women and children in South Sudan cannot read. They're non-literate. So we're breaking the cycle of poverty by providing literacy. Let's give God glory. Thank you so very much, Zor. You made it happen. God bless you. The Word of God declares that we, as the people of God, have been called according to His divine purpose. Coming out of the gate in Genesis, the second chapter, God refers to a woman revealing His idea, His mindset. And words communicate thoughts. Words are actually thoughts capsulized. God starts out coming out of the gate for a woman, revealing His thoughts towards women. His thoughts towards women go beyond the norms of today or the mindsets of how the world traditionally has an idea and understanding of limiting God's mindset or the mindset of a definition or the identity of a woman. When God begins to reveal what's in His mind concerning woman, let me say this first of all. Woman was never called Eve until after the fall. So the definition and the identity of Eve being limited to just a wife and a mother and a female that's limited to be somewhat of a helpmeet. Eve was after the fall. But there was something in the mind of God concerning what He wanted when He created a woman. And that word in the Hebrew is the word connecto. We find that God couples connecto, which means to rescue, to help. He connects those two concepts when He's speaking of a woman with another word that's called ezer, E-Z-E-R. When He connects the two of them together, He begins to speak to the first woman coming out of the gate by combining the definition of these two words together, connecto and ezer. And let's see what God had in His mind concerning a woman. When He connected the two together, we come commonly with a word that we use as helpmeet. Helpmeet. And a lot of times, especially in the Western world, when you hear the word helpmeet, you think of a wife. But that word helpmeet was not limited to just the wife. So then when a woman is not married, or when a woman has, say, if the marriage has failed, or maybe her husband is dead, now she feels like she can no longer be a helpmeet. Because in your mind, you were limiting the concept of helpmeet to that of a wife. But the concept of helpmeet is not limited to a wife. It was the mind of God to put together two terms, two concepts, two identities, two ways of thinking. A rescuer and a helper. A rescuer and a helper. So that's what God designed concerning you, that when He needs someone to rescue and to help, He will call forth connecto and ezer. Also, those two concepts have this understanding, very powerful. Benevolence coupled with strength. Benevolence coupled with strength. So when He made a woman, He says, I want a being that will be my concept of benevolence coupled with strength. Which is why you see in the church, when it comes to benevolence and things that are in areas of service and caring and nurturing, you see that of a woman. This is not limited to just a mother. This is what God's idea was, a woman. And then not only that, you find that she's at her very peak when she has gone through some type of challenges in life and disappointments in life, and you'll see what when throughout the Bible, when there's challenging times, he calls on connector and easer. In the earlier service, we gave the example of Esther when the children of Israel were facing what we would call today, Pastor Bishop Ed, ethnic cleansing. When there was a man by the name of Haman that was going to annihilate all the Jews and kill all the Jews, which would be ethnic cleansing today, he called on connector and easer, such to the point that when connector and easer concept forgot who she was because her weave was tied too tight in her head, you know, and she forgot all about why she was up in the palace. It took Mordecai to come and knock on the doors of her heart and say, how do you not know? How do you not know that you've not been brought into this palace for such a time as this, to be a rescuer, to be a helper, to be a deliverer? And then we see also in Numbers, the 27th chapter, and particularly the 7th verse, Numbers 27:7, we see God once again calling on Connecto and Ezer. At this particular time, it does not exist in the legislation on earth where women are given a right, where women are given a voice, where women are given land, well, women are given an opportunity to do business. So once again, he calls on a posse of connecto and easer. And it was 5 sisters by the name of the daughters of Zelophehad. These daughters begin to talk amongst themselves. The Bible says they had correct speech and correct language. And the Bible says they went through the proper protocol. And the women didn't use their 27,000 words to judge and to gossip and to backbite and to talk about who didn't speak to me. Baby, we didn't speak to you because we didn't see you. This song is not about you. You're so vain. It's not about you. These women came together and began to realize that we must be a voice. The Bible says, if you pause there for a minute, I want to put this on the screen. In Proverbs 31 verse 8, the Amplified Version, take the time to look at this. We see that same concept found in Proverbs 31 verse 8 in the Amplified. He's calling on connector and he's calling on easer. In Proverbs 31:8, he says, speaking of the woman, open wide your mouth. Open your mouth for the speechless. Let's get the Amplified if we can. Do we have the Amplified? Give me a thumbs up. Open wide your mouth for those that are dumb, that are speechless, for those who have no voice. Open wide your mouth, and it says to speak out for those who have no voice. I'm still waiting on my Amplified. It says that they have no voice, and it says that they are appointed to death. They are desolate and appointed to death. So God says, you open up your mouth to speak out for those who have already been appointed by the enemy to death. In other words, the enemy has already counted them dead. The enemy has already counted them down. The enemy has already counted them a high school dropout. The enemy has already counted them questioning their sexuality. The enemy has already counted them in prison. The enemy has already counted them, are you hearing me, a failure. The enemy has already counted them to completely be with famine and dead and death and all the entrapments of death. But he says, as you open wide your mouth for the dumb, for those who are unable to speak for themselves, say unable to speak for themselves. He says, I'm appointing you ease and connector to be their voice for those who are unable to speak for themselves, for the rights of all who have been desolate. So look at what God had in his mind concerning you. This is not limited to a wife or a mother. This is for every female. Open wide your mouth for all who have been left desolate and defenseless. God says, I'm going to call on you to be their defense attorney. I'm going to call on you to be the voice of advocacy. I'm going to call on you to rescue them. I'm going to call on you to help them. Look at how God thinks of you women. He reserves this word, connecto and easer, to the very scripture that we commonly use. I will look unto the hills for whence cometh my help. My help cometh from God. That's God reserves that concept of that type of help for you. It describes you. And it's like God uses our life like the talents. And he's given to some 1, and he's given to some 5, and he's given to some 10. And all of the council and the tribunal of heaven watches and monitors over your life to see how you steward, how you manage, how you develop, how you use that connector ability that he put on the inside of you. I shared in the first service this morning that women are given 5% more abdominal fat in the tummy area to bear fruit. I just simply want to know, when we decide we ain't having no more babies, why can't it be a Holy Ghost liposuction? I just want to ask God that. Any other women would like a Holy Ghost light bulb? No more tummy tucks, no more. Come on now. Come on, God, you can part the Red Sea. You can't break up belly fat without CLA. Come on back, come on back, come on back. But listen, God says, I'm going to give you divine elasticity. I'm going to make you to be adaptable. Now, interesting enough, Pastor Ed, that place where he talks about a helpmeet with connecto and easer, it has nothing to do with subjugation. It has nothing to do with being a doormat. It has nothing to do with being lesser. As a matter of fact, coming out of the gate, he says in Genesis 1:26-28, I am giving you co-dominionship authority. And so God made sure that women could not hide behind the excuse of their gender. They could not hide behind the excuse of a divorce. They could not hide behind the excuse of a crazy marriage. They could not hide behind the excuse, are you hearing me, of economically being deprived. They could not hide behind the excuse of the color of their skin. They could not hide behind the fact on what side of the tracks. Everybody born on the other side of the tracks. It depends on what side you're looking. They could not hide behind that. So guess what he did? He says, I've created you. I am the one who created you in my image, in my likeness. And it says, God created them. I love that God is smarter than us. So just in case somebody try to twist the Bible up, God said, don't get it twisted. Guess what he does? I created them. Then he stops to define them, both male and female. Women, there's no escape now. That means that everything that Adam has been given the dominionship responsibility in the earth, you have equal responsibility, you have equal authority, you have equal power. Somebody shout equal power. God is an equalitarian, which means that what I expect of a man to do in the earth, I expect of a woman to do the same. And you can see why there's been a void of easer and connector. Because 130 million children have never seen the inside of a classroom. One-fourth of the world does not have access to clean water. Connector, we need you. In the desolation of our city streets, he calls out through the prophet Isaiah, you careless daughters, you complacent daughters, hear my voice. I need you, easer. I need your connector. I created you to be a rescuer, a helper, to be benevolent, to be a woman of strength. That when I need that presence of myself in the earth, I can count on you. But you cannot take your talent to the grave. And you cannot take your wisdom to the grave. And you cannot take your experience to the grave just because life has not dealt to you what you thought it would be. That you've been trapped in the patterns that your life has set for you. Who in the world didn't have a dysfunctional family? Truth be told, we all working through dysfunction. The person that you land on the couch is talking to you about your dysfunction, they got dysfunction. Say amen, somebody. Shout, there's no excuse. Rather, we find power when women empower other women. When women rise out of their failed hopes and promises and they rise above that, women like Sojourner Truth, women like Harriet Tubman, women that says, I'm not going to live based upon an excuse. There are no limits. I'm created in this image and likeness. And who are the women you're assigned to? You find your fulfillment. You find your purpose when you are empowering other women. I want to talk to my Titus 2 mothers. My Titus 2 mothers that are empty nesters. That are perhaps retired. You're not retired. It's time to refire. Are you hearing me? There are young girls that need the wisdom that you have. Stop looking for a pulpit to preach in. Let your life be the message. We were just there in the South Sudan. I'm coming back to the Daughters of Zelophehad. And they told us, just like our last mission, that we ask always, send us to the women in the most desperate needs. Go find women. Go find children. They have the most desperate needs. Our time is very limited there. So we want to go where he needs us the most, because that's what Connector does. That's what Ezer does. And they said, there's a little girl by the name of Tabitha. Some of you might have seen it on my Facebook page. A 10-year-old little girl that was abducted by soldiers a year ago. And they've been trapping and keeping this little girl in the military camps amongst all the soldiers, a 10-year-old little girl. Our ground person went and negotiated with the commander, and he paid and got the little girl out. So after he got the little girl out, he said, Doc, what do you want me to do now? I was like, oh, my God, When we first wanted her out, I said, let me go pull on my posse of women and see what could happen. We called a group of connectors and a couple of easers, a few phone calls. And one said, you know what? Let's fly her in. I'll pay for what it takes to fly her into Nairobi. Let's get her put in an orphanage. Let's give her another life. Let's give her hope. Let's give her a chance. Women, when we begin to rise above our own challenges and our own problems, we begin to understand that what we make happen for others, God will make happen for us. Are you hearing me? And now a little girl's whole life is being transformed because Ezer, connector, the benevolence, the strength begin to allow her to rise above her own challenges and empower others. Stop living your life buried by excuses. Stop living your life based on the perceptions of men waiting on them. When I say men, I mean mankind waiting on someone to validate you and approve you and deputize you. You've already been elected. You've already been set apart. The Lord has need of thee. These daughters of Zelophehad, they couldn't change their gender. The girls came together and said, it's not our fault our daddy had no sons. And in many countries like India and in many continents like the continent of Africa, a woman is put away in India, bed burning, burnt because a woman cannot produce a male child or he can take another wife. This is happening in the 21st century. But the woman doesn't determine the gender. Memo, men, we bake the kind of cake you put in our oven. If you didn't put a pineapple cake in our oven, you're not going to get a pineapple cake. If you put a chocolate cake in our oven, we bake you a chocolate cake. So don't go crucify us because you wanted a pineapple cake and you put in a chocolate cake. We just carry the oven. And all the women that get it say amen. The other thing that's so powerful about you, connector and easer, that God made your human body this way. That you can be a barren woman. You can be an 80, 90-year-old woman. You can be a woman that's never given birth to children ever. We see it all the time in the desert. And the DNA of the saliva of the baby can now speak to a barren mother and command a barren mother to produce fruit. Not only will your body begin to produce milk, your body will recalculate the milk. In the morning, it produces a watery substance to quench the thirst of the baby. About midday, you begin to calculate a fattier, creamier substance to satisfy the hunger of the baby. In the evening, there's 37 adjectives that begin to sedate and calm the baby and digestive components in it to break down the fat, to cause the baby to sleep, and to cause the baby to digest. You are walking CVS, Walgreens, all at the same time, girl. You bring home the bacon, you can fry it up in the pan, and don't let your man forget your man. God says all of that is on the inside of you. Somebody shout, no limits. Somebody shout, no limits. You're looking at a woman that was once a high school dropout, once on AFDC, welfare, food stamps, WIC, pregnant with an illegitimate child. But God brought me up out of the dunghill of excuses and made me to realize that with man, things may be impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Listen to me. My eyes begin to water up when they call me to receive the Presidential Lifetime Achievement Award in the area of humanitarian help. And I said, the little black girl from Winston-Salem, North Kakilaki with the high school dropout, and my son is here today who's married to a beautiful wife who has a jalapeno pepper when it comes to missions and the word of God and preaching. Truth be told, he really married his mother. Don't tell him I said so. But, you know. But my grandchildren are getting the word at least 5 times during the week. Are you hearing me? God will make sure that your seed and your seed, are you hearing me? When you begin to live out what God has for you, I decree over your life that you will live a life from disappointments to divine appointments. Say amen to that. And by 53 seconds left, the daughters of Zelophehad went before God, went before the elders. Then the elders went before Moses. And then Moses went before God. And when Moses got before God, you know, this was a male-dominated society at the time. Pastor Ed, I can imagine Moses was like, let me go over and talk to God about these 5 women, these renegades. Put them girls in their place. They just better come on. God, I got to do something with them. Got rubber all up in the neck. They sisters with attitude. They from Compton, you know? So Moses went before God, and he waiting for God to tell him what he think already the answer is. And in the seventh verse, God said, the women before you are speaking correctly. Listen to those girls. They are right. It says that they are speaking a voice of justice. So in the Bible, before you ever see legislation, you see these women judicating. Are you hearing me? Legislating. And they never went to law school. God says, I am the chief judge. I'm the chief supreme of court. Are you hearing me? This is the council of heaven. You talk about a supreme court, it doesn't get any higher than El Elyon. And God validated them, gave them a license to practice law. And from that time to today, it has been legislated in Israel and throughout time that women now had the privilege to possess and own land, which meant they can now do business. Somebody say God is awesome. But what did those daughters do? They began to empower not only each other, but because of what they did, it empowered other women to be empowered. So they could have been like this. My daddy didn't have no boys. And I'm 40 years old and I ain't found a man yet. The Lord's forgotten all about me. My marriage didn't work. I don't think it's going to ever work for me. Every time I try, I make one step forward and three steps back. Won't nobody give me a chance. Every time I turn around and she didn't speak to me and they don't like me and they hurt me and they betrayed me and nyah, 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 call the ambulance. Get up. Rise up. Rise up. Those daughters, instead of licking their wounds and whining and complaining, they said, let's take what we have. And what do we have? We got a voice. We got a mouth. And the prophet already said, open wide your mouth. Speak up. Speak up with the voice of justice. Speak up for the 130 million children that have never been in a classroom. Speak up for the 10 million children in sex slavery. Speak up for the 1/4 of the world that doesn't have access to clean water. Speak up for the 80 to 90% of women in South Sudan who can't read and write. Speak up, speak up, speak up. Become her voice. In the lobby, you'll see what I'm wearing and the jewelry and the artifacts and the arts. We took the work of the women who worked with their hands and said, we'll bring your stuff back stateside. And we've developed her voice. And with her voice, we develop enterprise for them and exchange for them and global trade for them, whereby we take their product, bring it stateside, give you an opportunity to invest in their lives and the purchase that you make, dig a well, send their kids to school. We're not giving them a handout. We're taking them from aid to trade, from aid to enterprise. Are you hearing me today? Because we are their voice. And every time someone sees you wearing the garment or they see the artwork on your in your house on the wall or they see the earrings, you're able to tell the story of her voice. You're able to wake up the minds of people that 2 million women have been raped. You're able to wake up the minds of the people that 1.2 million people have been displaced. And that 80% of the people on planet Earth, there's 7.2 billion people on the planet, 80% women and children. Never has the Earth been populated with as many people, young people, under the age of 30 and 35. So if God is endeavoring to recruit anybody to be his voice, it would be the women that he's called to be Ezer and Connecto. That name is found 21 times in the Old Testament, 2 times as it refers to the first woman, and then you see it about 12 times in the New Testament. Over and over again, God's saying, I had you on my mind. I have an assignment. I created you. Stop being distracted with the external things around you. Stop being trapped in the patterns that your life has set for you. Stop living in your past. Begin to connect with what I put on the inside of you. I created you in my image and in my likeness. And don't you take your talent, your grace, your power, your gifting to the grave. Use it to empower others. And what you make happen for others, God will make happen for you. Stand to your feet. I want the minister to play very quickly. I don't know if you all do that song here, Pastor Ed, the William McDowell, "My life is not my own, to you belong, I belong. I give myself away." This appeal is not just to mothers. It's to women at large. If you're a female, Ezer, I'm talking to you before you were ever called Eve. And listen to the appeal. You may be an empty nester. Marriage might have fallen apart. You may be in a marriage now and the wine has gone out of it. You may have a good marriage. You may have climbed the corporate ladder. Things may be well with you. But regardless of where you find yourself today, women, and what stage of your life or what age of your life, the Lord still has need of thee. Here's the appeal. On this Mother's Day, God is extending an invitation to you. He's persuading you to receive and to acknowledge and to embrace not only his extravagant love for you, but his original internal intent for you. Some of you have never embraced your true purpose. You've never answered your true call. And you've never put your hands to what you were actually born for. But I believe that God has predestined this Sunday morning that you would have an encounter, and that this would be your defining moment, and that you will bury the things of your past and let this be your new beginning, and to live out the rest of your life for what God has intended for you. For you've gone past that shallow stage of your persona and character, whereby you used to buy things with money you didn't have, in the stage where you tried to impress people you didn't like with things you didn't need. But now you're at a place where I've tasted all these things and they've not satisfied. And I now want to live out what I was born for. And the invitation that God is extending to you today, listen very carefully. For every woman under the sound of my voice, Pastor Ed, Bishop Ed, I ask the Holy Spirit to give life to my words. I ask him to help me this morning, that the appeal coming from this podium and this pulpit, God is extending an invitation for you to come forward and say, "Father, use me in my life more than you have ever used me before. I know that I'm called. I know that I'm saved. I know that I have a job. I know that I'm this profession and that profession. I know I've achieved, but I want to say to you today, Father, you can use me more than you've ever used me before. And whatever measure that I've dealt to you, I'm ready to step up my commitment to another level. I'm ready to step up my game. I'm ready to step up my purpose. I'm ready to align my life. I'm ready to live out the fullness and to maximize my potential, my capacity, and fulfill my assignment. And I'm willing to say to you, more than you've ever used me, Lord, use me." If you're willing to say that, and as he's calling forth an Ezer in this hour, and he's calling forth a connector in this hour, a rescuer, a helper, a benevolent one, one of strength, one that would rescue and help, "Here am I, Lord, you can use me." If you're willing to say that to him on this Mother's Day Sunday, make your way down to this altar as fast as you can. "Lord, I want to be used by you. I want you to know you can count on me. I want to live the rest of my life out for what I was born for. I want to live out. I want to be your rescuer. I want to be your helper. I want to live it in this full." Women are weeping already. I'm tired of living life as usual. I'm tired of going to work, going to church, and coming home. There's got to be more for my life. I'm more than a grandmother. I'm more than a wife. I'm more than a mother. There is still something in me that has not been fully fulfilled yet. Come on close to the altar. There's more room. Let's please in closer. Lord God, and listen to what I'm saying. That means that every woman still in their seat, you're saying to God, "You cannot use me. Every woman still in their seat is saying, you cannot use me more. Because listen to the appeal. On this morning, he is asking you, can I use you more than I've ever used you before? It's not a salvation appeal. This is you saying, I want you to take my life and use me more. I know you've used me in times past, but I want more. I want more. I want to live out what you wanted for my life. I want more. If that's your heart's cry this morning, lift your hands up before the Father and just begin to cry out for more. Tears all over this place. Cry, use me more, Lord. Call on Connector. Call on Ezer. Call it forth. And I call forth in the name of Jesus all over this beautiful assembly where women with lifted hands before God that are saying to you, I will be their voice. I will open wide my mouth. I will speak out for the dumb. I will stand in the gap for those that have been appointed to death. Father, I'm not going to be stuck on me. I'm tired of doing me. I'm ready to do you. Use me more than you've ever used me before. We're going to take about 15 seconds and I'm going to go silent because for the most part, I've taken you as far as I can. And these next 15 to 20 seconds is for you to open up your mouth wide, for you to cry out to your God, for you to tell your God, for you to make your contract with God, for you to make your vow with God, for you to negotiate with God like Esther did. God, if you give me a son, I'll give him back to you. Use me for what you want. He called on Connector to bring forth the child. He called forth the Connector to bring forth the prophet. She wanted a baby. He needed a prophet. Now you negotiate with your God. It's between you and God. Lift up your voices, ladies. Their ministries being birthed. Their businesses being birthed.
I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away.
Something's happening. Something's happening on the inside of you. This can be real between you and God. It's happening right now between you and a holy God. You're in the presence of a holy God. He's been waiting on your yes. He's been waiting on your surrender. You've tried relationships. You've tried jobs. You've gotten degrees. But there's something inside yet unfulfilled. He's been waiting on it. He's been waiting on this day. Pastor Ed, I wish you could see the faces all over. Tears all over this place. Let him break. Right now, I pray that your heart will break for what his heart breaks for. I pray that your heart breaks for what his heart breaks for. Come forth in the name of Jesus. Come forth in the name of Jesus. Things are aligning. Doors are opening. And for some, other doors are closing. For some, relationships are being severed. I pray that you focus on what God has called of you. The Lord has need of thee. Beyond the makeup, beyond the lipstick, beyond the jewelry, beyond the veneer. There's a core cause. There's a core purpose. And men, you are not exempt. Men, you can lift your hands before God right now, every man under the sound of my voice. And you can say before God, I know you want more of me. And I too am willing to give you all of me. Look at the men. Use me more than you've ever used me before, Daddy. Men, lift up your voice. It's an hour for more. There's a clarion call. The Lord has need of us. He's worthy of our surrender. He's worthy. Ladies, say this with me. Through your tears, say this. Father God, I decree in the name of Jesus, my life is not my own. To you I belong. Don't let me die with my assignment in me. Don't let me die and miss the people I'm appointed to. Father God, don't allow their blood to be on my hands. For the rest of my life, take my life. Use it as much as you desire. Maximize my potential and allow me to be focused only on that which you predestined. I will not be busy and just active, but I'll be deliberate. I'll be intentional in the name of Jesus. I will not let you down. Let my heart break for the things that your heart breaks for. Open my eyes and open wide my mouth to speak out for those who have no voice. And I promise you, I will give you the glory for every door you open. I will give you the praise, and I will not bury my talent nor take my assignment to the grave. Hear me, Lord. It's between me and you. I will remember this day because today is the pivot for the rest of my life. I decree in the name of Jesus, I am desperate. I am determined to fulfill the will of God for my life. And I will search for the opportunities to empower others. I refuse to be a selfish woman. I will look for opportunities to empower other women, beginning in my world. Shout this with me. I will be her voice. Say it loud. Let heaven hear. This side. In the middle. Over here. Collectively. Father, we decree and seal it in the spirit. In Jesus' name. Before I turn the mic over to Pastor, my time is done. In the foyer, you perhaps saw things when you were coming in that were clothes and jewelry and artwork. So we've gone to different villages and different areas, and we've collected their work. And the proceeds of all that you purchase, perhaps as a Mother's Day gift to yourself or to your mother, you're digging a well, you're providing clean water, you're giving that woman the power to send her child to school, or the power to make a financial decision, the power to read, not a handout, but to return her to a place of restored dignity. And then we become our sister's keeper, because I believe that we were born to empower one another like the daughters of Zelophehad. Inheritance is the things you leave behind. A legacy are the people you leave behind. For the rest of your life, don't you go after things. Don't you accumulate things. For the rest of your life, you live your life where you live and you leave a legacy. We're empowering them and giving them an opportunity to leave a legacy. Every last one of you women, I want to meet you at the table. If I don't do nothing but touch your hand, if you don't do nothing but buy a pair of earrings for a couple of dollars to empower a woman, to lift her, you can begin your empowerment assignment. You can begin your empowerment assignment. You can be a voice right now, today, and for the rest of your life, seek opportunities to not tear people down. There's enough people tearing people down. Spend the rest of your life lifting people up. Say amen to that. God bless you, and I can't wait to see you at the table. For those of you that are here, maybe at the altar, and you've never joined this church, and you've been thinking about joining this church, you don't need to go back to your seat. For those of you that have been contemplating, and maybe you've been a perpetual visitor, there may be some men that you've been checking the church out, but you've never visited, you've never made that commitment. There may be family members that never joined the church. What a wonderful time to say, you know what? I'm going to make it right, and I need to be in the right place. Those that are returning to their seats, listen to the words that I'm about to say. You cannot grow oranges in Alaska. Neither can you grow apples in the desert. When you are where you're supposed to be in life, things begin to happen. The Bible says, blessed are those that are planted. Blessed are those that are planted. Blessed are those that are planted in the house of the Lord. It is there that they will flourish. If you take a plant and you take it out of the soil, because the soil has been commanded to speak to the seed. The seed has been commanded to speak to the soil. But if you take that plant out and you leave it unplanted, unrooted, the plant will die. Some of your dreams have died. Some of your plans have died. Some of your family situations have died. You're struggling hard to pull things together, but it's just not come together. And that's because God wants you planted in the place that He's assigned you. For some people, it's a season. It may be 3, 4, 5 years, 10 years is a season that God will have you here to train you and equip you up and to send you out. And for some, you will be planted here till Jesus comes back. But regardless of who it is and what your assignment in your life falls for, you need to be planted in the house of God. You need a shepherd to lead you and to feed you. And with every eye closed right now, you're here and you've been visiting the church, or this may be your first time. And you realize you don't want to wake up on Monday morning living life as usual, facing the same challenges and the same struggles. You want this Monday to be different. And that begins with being planted where God wants you to be. If I'm speaking to you and you want a whole new change in life and to begin again and you want to see results and your assignment and your obedience is connected to your entire family, your children, your nieces, your nephew, your whole household is connected to your obedience. If I'm speaking to you and you want a new Monday, you want a new life, you want to begin again, you're tired of struggling, you want solutions, you want answers, raise your hand.